1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then I'll read a passage or two from the book of Matthew chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, doing the writing here, inspired of God, writes to the church of Corinth. He says in the second verse, well, he identifies himself in verse 1, Paul, called an apostle. The 2B is inserted by the translators, so it actually should be Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ, through or according to the will of God. He's an apostle according to the will of God. That is, he's not an apostle because he was elected to be an apostle by the rest of the apostles or in some other means or method. But he attributes his apostleship to God Himself. Called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God or because of the will of God, and so then he's our brother, under the church of God, letters directed to the church of God, which is at Corinth, and to them that are sanctified in Christ, called saints, there's that to be again, added by the translators, called saints, with all that in every place that call upon the name of the Lord, or call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how many times, I haven't counted them here, but how many times he mentions the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The 9th verse, he said, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, one more time here, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. This church at Corinth, those that are called saints, those that in every place that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be no divisions among you, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that they are contentions or divisions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you, saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Said, is Christ divided? Was Paul baptized for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize. He didn't send me to baptize. What did He send you to do, Paul? Christ didn't send me to baptize. That's not my first and foremost motive, but to preach the gospel. How are you going to preach this gospel, Paul? Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, or it is said by God, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require signs, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Well, I read all that to emphasize the emphasis that the Apostle Paul, who was called of God and inspired of God to pen these words, to set forth the great emphasis that Paul puts upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout this whole chapter, 31 verses, he emphasizes and builds all his arguments around and on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, over here in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, we find these words written by Matthew, who was called of God unto the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he penned these words, words that were spoken to him by an angel. These are the words of the angel of the Lord to Joseph concerning the incarnation and the birth and the work of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this 20th verse, it says, "And while he thought upon these things," what things was he thinking about? Well, verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise," or was like this. "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things," that's what he was thinking about, "what shall I do? While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now it seems to me that anyone who reads or hears that the Son of God assumed human flesh and came into this world as a man would want to know why did the Son of Man come into this world. Seems to me like they would want to know why he came. Well, the angel here plainly tells us that God the Son came into this world for a specific reason, to do a specific thing, and on a specific mission. The angel said this to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, who is this Jesus that he's talking about? Who is Jesus? Now, that may seem to be a strange question. Who is Jesus? Well, you and I collectively have heard about Jesus all of our lives, haven't we? We've heard about him. Most of us went to daily vacation Bible school. Maybe some went two or three times to daily vacation Bible school. And they talked about Jesus. They had little pictures they showed, and we had made pictures and little things of that nature depicting somewhat of the baby Jesus. But when I say, who is Jesus? I know that seems to be a strange question, because we have heard about Jesus all of our lives. you might think that everyone knows who Jesus is. Everybody. Well, you're mistaken if you believe that. Because this is the truth. You're mistaken if you believe that everyone knows who Jesus is. The fact is that there's very few in this world who knows who our Lord Jesus is. The Christ that is worshipped in the average church is but a figment of man's imagination. As we compare what they're saying with what the Bible teaches. The Lord warns us of these people here in the book of Matthew in the 24th verse, if you'll turn with me. Our Lord warns us about what men will teach and what men will say. Here in this 24th chapter and the 23rd verse, it says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, he said, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now, that makes the question very important. Who is this Jesus? Who is the Christ of the Bible? Now, we've got to know. We must know. And we must trust. And we must worship this Christ if we would be accepted by God and if we would know God. We got to know who He is. I read to you where it says, "There shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible," it's not possible, but if it were possible, "they would deceive the very elect of God." So it's vital that we find out who this Jesus is. I said that the majority of the churches here in this world today are worshiping a false Christ. They're not worshiping the true and the living God. Now, over in the book of John, turn with me there to the 17th chapter of the book of John. Might emphasize something there. John chapter 17. I said that we must know Him, we must trust Him, we must worship this Christ. And if we would know God and be accepted of Him, we got to know who He is. And over here in this third verse, it says this. Well, let me read the second verse, 17th chapter. "As thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him." He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the first verse says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and He said, Father, The hour's come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him, as God the Father has given the Lord Jesus Christ power over all flesh. That means authority over all flesh. In other words, right now, this one that we're talking about, whom the angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This Christ, this Jesus that we're talking about, says that God hath given him, as thou, that's God the Father, has given him, the Christ of God, power over all flesh. Now, if he's got power over all flesh, then all flesh is in his hands. And if he be the sovereign Christ that has power over everything that moves and wiggles, then he has the right to give life to as many as it pleases him to give life to. So he says he has power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to how many? To as many as the Father has given him. To as many as thou hast given him. Now listen, here's that must. Now I said, we must know who this Jesus is that came from God to do a specific thing. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, you see, if you trust a false Christ, no matter how sincere you might be, you are lost nevertheless. If you trust a false Christ. What is a false Christ? A false Christ is one who cannot accomplish what he set out to do. I'm saying that the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible, God sent him to do a specific thing. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, if the Christ that you recognize, or I recognize, or I bow to, or I worship, if he hath not completely accomplished the work that the Father giveth him to do, then he's a false Christ. Because the Christ of God, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall, not he might, not I hope he can, but he shall save his people from their sins. Now, how does he do this? He does this by way of transfer, as I've already mentioned, that he takes the sins of his people and lays them upon himself and bears the penalty that's due their sins. Now, he's not trying to save his people, but he is saving his people. So if you trust a Christ that cannot save his people, then you're trusting a false Christ. If you think that you, or if I think that I have something to do with my salvation, that I must somehow cooperate with God, then I'm trusting a false Christ. If you trust a false Christ, no matter how devoted you are to him, and no matter how sincere you are, you're lost. Now, if you and I have any concern or care for our soul whatsoever, we need to seek God. We need to ask God, the Holy Spirit, show us who He is. We need to search the Scriptures like the Bereans of old. We're told that the Bible says that God looked down or looked out from heaven to see if they were any that had understanding, to see if there were any that seek after God. Now, he concluded that there was not any. Let me read over here in the book of Romans, where he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In the Old Testament, he said that he looked down from heaven upon the children of men. And he said that there was none good, no, not one. And here in the book of Romans, in the 3rd chapter, in the 10th verse, he says, as it is written. It's already been written. It's already said. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not one single solitary individual upon the face of the earth that is righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's what God says about us. So I say, if we care for our souls, if we care, if we're concerned, if we care about our souls, then we need to ask God, the Holy Spirit, to show us who He is and what He does. If we're in the city, if we're as bad as God says we are, and I think we are, looked out of heaven to see if there's any that had any understanding of who God was, couldn't find any that would seek after God. Now listen to me. If there had been any good men, women, boys and girls upon the face of the earth when God looked down and out from heaven, God would have found them. Don't you think? God would have found them. Why? Because He sees all things, and He sees all persons, and if they had have been any good people on the face of the earth, then God would have discovered them, wouldn't He? But He didn't discover them because there was none there. There's all evil. Now listen, this description that God gives of the character of men is not uncharitable or unjust on God's part. I read one time where the great preacher of God, Mr. George Whitfield, he used to say that man by nature is half beast and half devil. And I conclude that Mr. Whitfield was right. We are in bad shape, and we need a Savior. We need a Savior who will make atonement for our sins. We need a Savior who will stand in our stead, in our place, and in our room, and bear the penalty that's due us against our sin. We need a Savior that will honor and obey every jot and every tittle of God's holy law on our behalf. And we need a Savior that will establish a righteousness that will stand us in good stead with God. And the only where we can look to find such a person as that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God appointed and God sent to be the Savior of them that believe. And the angel was telling old Joseph a great and glorious truth when he told him that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Jesus of the Bible. Well, this is who he is, and there's none other, and there's no need for us to look for another. He's the only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells of his incarnation, about the baby here being born. It says that that holy thing that's in the womb of Mary, his name shall be called, that holy thing, his name shall be called Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. That's who he is. Jesus the Christ of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall save his people from their sins. This man who was none other than God, he was incarnated. God become a man. I'm amazed that God would condescend and assume our flesh and live our life and die our death in order to save us. Huh? Isn't that God would do that? God would love us before time ever was, and God himself would come down and be find lodging place in the womb of a woman, and a sinful woman would bring forth a sinless man, and that sinless man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came for that specific purpose, to redeem his people, to save his people by the sacrifice of himself. And he gave himself all that he was. All that the Lord Jesus Christ was as God and man, he gave himself willingly, gladly, cheerfully as our Redeemer. That's the Christ I'm talking about. That's the Christ that can save. And that's the Christ that will save any man that desires to be saved on the terms of God himself. He does all the saving. You can't help save him. You don't have to. You can be saved at any time. You can be saved here this morning. You don't have to move a muscle and be saved. This business, the business of God and the salvation of sinner, is between you and God, and God does business in your heart, and you don't have to move a muscle. You don't have to stand up and wave your hand or come before the church and give a test. You don't have to do anything. You have to do nothing. Don't move a muscle. Don't bat an eye. You'll be saved because God does business in your heart. Huh? I'm talking about his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. God saved you. Has he saved you? Who saved you? You saved yourself? Your baptism saved you? Baptism ain't got anything to do with it. Paul said, I thank God he sent me not to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. And the gospel is to preach Christ and him crucified. As the substitute, the dying Savior, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. God help us to be able to answer the question. Who is it? He's God manifest in the flesh. That's who he is. And in the book of Hebrews, it tells us, I think in that third chapter, let me see. see if I can find that real quick. That's not the third chapter, some other chapter here. Eleventh chapter. It says this: but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, faith's a gift of God. And without it, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That is, must believe that God is, as He hath revealed Himself in the Word. And He hath revealed Himself in the face and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, the Lord bless these few scattered remarks to our understanding and help us to, if we don't know, to do our dead level best under God to find out who this man is. Because we must know Him. We must know Him if we are to ever enjoy the blessings of the gospel in this life and certainly in the life to come. Let's stand and paddle.